Lassen Sie ihn auch für den Dorf, dass Sie sich fit. And his son, Bimal Prasad, he went along instead. And he prepared some nice lecture. You know the story, he glorified all the Brahmins. But then, after glorifying the Brahmins, Yudhishthira was very pleased. And he began to present the philosophy about Krishna consciousness. Mam tri yo vyabhicharena, bhakti yoga in the sevate. Saganan samatityayatan, brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in devotional service does not fall down. Immediately he rises above the modes of material nature, comes to the level of Brahman. One who engaging in devotional service is already on the Brahman platform, he's already on the spiritual platform. He's not even on the Sattvagun platform. The Brahman is in Sattvagun. Devotee becomes transcendental to the modes of material nature. Yashila Lakshanam Prokam. Quoted that verse. How Narad Muni is explaining to Maharaj Yudhisthira how that one is situated in one's position according to one's quality. Tatuvana Maya Shista Guna Kama Devagasha. These slokas he presented very nicely. And many other slokas, of course, show that actually one cannot be Brahman by birth, but one must be a devotee. That is the main qualification. Even if one has all the qualifications of a Brahmin, and if one is doing the work of a Brahmin also, if one is doing all the work of a Brahmin and has one the qualities of a Brahmin, but if one's not a devotee, he cannot even purify himself, let alone his own family. But one who is born even in a family of dog eaters, how is then? He's a devotee. He can purify all the three worlds. There are so many slokas actually in the Vedic scriptures. Which Bhaktisiddhanta, as a young boy, he quoted these. And not actually a young boy, but he was a young man. And there was a wonderful victory for the Vaishnavas. It was established. And it was, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta says that he had introduced giving sacred bread to his disciples. He initiated as Brahmins, even though they weren't born in Brahmin families. This is a huge disturbance. The same problem we have in Nepal also, the Brahmins. And in other countries like Malaysia, other cultures where the Brahminical culture is going according to caste. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he didn't tolerate anything against the principles of devotion as enunciated by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Nuga Viruda Apasi Dantra Dvanta Harine. Viruda Apasi Dantra. Viruda means against, and Apasi Dantra means, this means unauthorized statement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was called Lion Guru. Shringa Guru. He always went in to fight if there was any nonsense going on. He wanted to fight. And they even tried to kill him. But they, some bandits in Mayapur, they gave 35,000 rupees offered to the local policeman. And they said, please do something. He's causing great disturbance. We want to finish him. The policeman, what can I do this? Highest man. I can do for any man, of course, policemen sometimes take bribes. But for a saintly person, how can I allow this to go on? Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta tells what he was so saintly, even from his very young age. One time, he was at home, and it was a bowl of fruits, of mangoes. In every Indian's house, there's mangoes. Mangoes are a common thing. And what did he do? Everybody knows. Somebody may not. So he took a mango. He started to eat it.
Mango? Ja, Rocket. For sure.
Yes. That's Dhyan Prasad. He's a Bimal Prasad. He's called Bimal Prasad then.
He really came. Oh. I'm an offender.
Now I will never eat mango. In my life. Such a strong little boy. Such a powerful personality. Why was he so powerful? And you have to go back. Who actually is he? He's coming from the spiritual world. Actually, he's one of the associates of Lord Krishna in the spiritual world. One of the manjaris, as far as I understand. One of the confidential associates of the gopis. Nikunyayuna Rafikali Siddhayi. Spiritual master is right here because he's expert in assisting the gopis. He was an assistant to one of the gopis. And he came to establish Krishna consciousness. It's a firm foundation. And how did he do that? Of course, we know the special story. Today we're remembering the special story. How he found one wonderful disciple. And he told him, you preach in the English language. Actually, he sent his disciples to the Western country. And they came to England, but they were not successful. But one special disciple was successful. And you know who that was. And that was Srila Prabhupada. And he wrote this wonderful song that we just heard. And in this song, Prabhupada glorifies Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati very nicely. He is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi. Is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. The Prabhupada never took credit for himself. Because as soon as he met Bhaktisiddhanta in Uttadanga in Calcutta, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati turned to him and said, you are a very educated young man. Obviously, you speak English. Why don't you spread these teachings to the Western countries? You preach in the English-speaking language. In English-speaking countries. Preach in the English language. Bhaktisiddhanta immediately gave the order to Srila Prabhupada. And later on in Prabhupada's career, Bhaktisiddhanta repeated that order. He was pleased with the statement the Prabhupada made in his offering, in his famous Vyaspuja offering. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity thou hast moved. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity thou hast moved. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, yes, this is a very nice verse. He kept repeating it. And Prabhupada was called Kavi. So then he was writing the Harmonist magazine. And later on in 1944, after the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktisiddhanta disappeared in 1933. Then he started Bhakti Godhead in Allahabad, Bhakti Godhead magazine. 1944 to 1994 is how many years? Guru Kul? 1944 to 1994, how many years? 50 years! Yes. 50 years, half a century. Half a century, centuries 100. It's half a century. What is this? It's a silver anniversary? Or silver or diamond or what do you call it? Gold anniversary. Gold anniversary, back to Godhead. Wow. Really amazing. Prabhupada wrote the first one. And of course he was feeling that this will fulfill the order of my Guru Maharaj. And if you remember at the top of the back to Godhead, he didn't have Prabhupada didn't have himself. In that little round thing on the logo. He had Lord, who did he have in the little round thing? On the front of that story? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his own Guru Maharaj. If you read him back to Godhead now, it still says, by the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Does it still say? I think it does. Have a look. So this Bhakti Godhead is the backbone of our movement. It's a very special thing. And in that article which we lost, somehow it was someone accidentally, because of an impersonal calamity, it got lost, maybe. Almost an impersonal calamity. We're all suffering from impersonal calamity. This is our disease. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is helping to remove it by sending his disciple Srila Prabhupada. But still that disease persists, of course. Because I'm just visiting this time. Some very concerned devotee came to me. And he said, oh, nowadays they're forgetting to put Tulsi to rest. Nowadays they're forgetting to put Prabhupada to rest on the Vyasasana. Everybody came to me like this. Is there something fundamentally wrong? You know, what's going on in the man? What do you think, she said? The devotees are forgetting to do their duty. The duties which we would never forget, they're forgetting important things. So, this is impersonal calamity. This disease we're all suffering from. And same disease that Sringa also had. It can come back at any time. And we all need reminding of to be very careful in our Krishna consciousness. Especially at a time like this when there's so much pressure on us. We're at battle stations. Countdown. Routine work must go on very nicely, especially deity worship. We're getting our strength from worshipping the deity. This is a way in which impersonal calamity is being removed. We're coming to the Western world. Prabhupada's coming to the Western world by the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He's establishing his deity worship. And he brought Tulsi Devi. And we've made nice deity of Prabhupada. We have to be very, very careful in our dealings with the deities, or we can suffer reactions. This is something which came to mind when I remembered the sloka, absolute ascension thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast moved. On this day we can surely pray. Well, I was reading actually, Prabhupada gave a lecture on Bhaktisiddhanta's appearance day in Gorakhpur in 1970. And I just read that. It came out of the folio. It's very nice. Now there's so much information we can easily get hold of. It's very nice. And in this, the devotees are asking Prabhupada, what shall we do today? How shall we do the festival? Prabhupada giving practical instructions how to do the festival. Now we offer Pushpanjali, offer flowers at midday. And like that. Break fast at midday and offer Pushpanjali just before. How we cannot offer directly to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But we must offer to us our Guru Maharaj. We offer to our Guru, he offers to his Guru, and then it goes to Bhaktisiddhanta. You should never think we can offer directly to Prabhupada chastise one devotee. So on this day, if you're a great grand disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, then proper procedure is to offer to your Guru Maharaj, maybe grand disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And then of course, he offers to his Guru, and Prabhupada offers to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. This is the chain of disciplic succession. We must honor that as much as possible. So when we're offering Pushpanjali or offering anything to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we should, at least mentally, be offering to our Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada was offered a nice lecture to his Guru Maharaj in 1974. Where was I when I mentioned it? What was it? I remember my train of thought. Before that. Flushed the Guru. Huh? Oh, back to Brahma. Yeah. Anyway, I was saying that is our backbone of our movement. The backbone of our movement. And if we want to keep our movement strong, then of course we should read Back to Godhead and we should try and distribute Back to Godhead. Yeah. Bhaktisiddhanta was very happy if one of his disciples even distributed one magazine. Gurukul, I have those photographs for you. Haribo, you want to take your photograph? Those who gave little donations. Okay. So there's a lot to be said. I was told to finish this class by 8:30. I covered some general points. Today, this is what I was trying to remember. Prabhupada in that lecture, he said, today we can pray to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. We can pray to him for spiritual strength and his blessings, that we can do our devotional service very nicely under the direction of our spiritual master. So Prabhupada said in that lecture, we can pray to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati today. But we mustn't forget to say, under the direction of our Guru Maharaj. Understand? This is a very important point, philosophical point, of honoring the Guru Parampara. We cannot directly approach Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and jump over our Guru Maharaj. This is the point of practice. So we can pray to him sincerely, but then in our prayer, we should request that we please bless us so that we can serve our Guru, spread this Krishna conscious movement, do our, distribute books, which is your very dear to you, and everything under the direction of our Guru Maharaj, who is, you can say, who is disciple of Prabhupada. Right. Okay, everyone understands, no? So, Hare Krishna, any questions? Some of the what? Pastimes of the appearance and everyone's disappearance in the room. So which do we want? I get blamed for bringing the class too long. We're going to have a Pushpanjali before Prasadam today. And another point is that I don't like to interfere on management level, but and we already discussed with Dhanagar, but I thought I mentioned it. He's also agreed. Well, no, he actually hasn't agreed on this point. I heard that the devotees won't be fasting because they're going on sankirtan. I don't think that's correct. Some austerity has to be done on a great, on an important day like this. Oh, you're distributing books for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. You can fast till midday, at least. I saw in Denmark, they were doing that. Nityananda's appearance day. They were going out all morning on sankirtan to sleep. They had some financial difficulty by selling prasadam. All the devotees went out after my class, and they fasted until the feast, even though they were on sankirtan. It's not so cold here. It's much colder in Denmark. There's snow and ice everywhere. I mean, I'm not trying to... But I really feel that we should honor a day like this by a fasting and get some blessings. Not that we should take the shining and break the fast. It's my personal... I'm not making any management statements. It's my personal feeling. Can you agree? So, of course, when the Raffiatric cart came past Bhaktivinoda's house on the strand in Jagannath Puri, what happened? The cart stopped. And the cart wouldn't move. So, everyone was very interested. The cart stopped outside Bhaktivinoda's house. So naturally, Bhaktisiddhanta's mother went out to see what was going on. There was a big crowd. And she was holding the baby, newly born baby, Bimal Prasad. And she saw, the cart stopped. So when the cart stops, what happens in the Raffiatric cart? Everyone climbs up. The pujaris, actually it's a trick that the pujaris do to get more offerings to Lord Jagannath. Somehow they put the brake on them. Maybe it's, but of course, in this occasion, it hadn't happened. It was actually Lord Jagannath's special desire. And the cart wouldn't move, and his mother, Bhaktisiddhanta's mother, climbed up on the cart, and he took the baby and placed his head right at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And what should happen? A big garland fell down. Right on top of Bhaktisiddhanta's little child, Bimal Prasad. Bimal Prasad, king! Little Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, king. That was taken as a very auspicious sign. In Indian culture, every tiny little thing is taken into as a sign. So this is a big thing. The garland of Lord Jagannath fell right now. And just as his son was being offered, the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. Any more questions? Oh, yeah. That's the Brahmin thread. When he was born, the umbilical cord, which a baby has usually tangled around, is around his body like a Brahmin thread. This is also another sign. Another wonderful sign. Any more nectar? Let the nectar flow. Yeah? I've read it. I think it's in Mahanuja's book. He's one of them down. Or Satyaraj's book. Appreciating the diamond. Whether that starts with some prophet, which may or may be, I jump to a conclusion, but you can check. Why did they fail? They didn't fail. Nobody fails if they're following the instructions of their spiritual master. It's impossible to fail. And maybe apparently be a failure by a Prabhupada standard. But they came, they tried, they preached, they didn't have like the vision of Prabhupada's preaching wasn't there. Prabhupada was specially sent the right time by his Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada was having dreams in Moscow. So Bhaktisiddhanta already also sent them, and they did preach to some of the aristocracy. There are some comments that Prabhupada made, that one lord was asking his godbrother, who was preaching in London, he said he wanted to be a Brahmin. What do I have to do to be a Brahmin? And he said, oh, you have to follow the four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex life, no gambling, no intoxication. And this big lord, he said, impossible! Cannot do! So, evidently there was one Mataji who was initiated by Prabhupada's godbrother earlier on. And, she's still living. Still living in London. Maybe she's passed away now. And they opened the branch of Gaudiya Math on Mataji and house. So they tried. But, you know, time wasn't sufficient. Lord Chaitanya had another plan. You know what I mean? Lord Chaitanya had another plan. And, now we've seen the fulfillment of that plan and we're part of it. We don't want to in any way criticize Prabhupada's godbrothers. This is on the absolute platform. We don't say one is better than another. This is very offensive. We don't say one person is a better devotee than another devotee. These are all devotees. Everyone is doing their best to serve Krishna. And some may manifest in one way, some may manifest in another. So this is Krishna's wonderful plan. It came to 1966. That's later. It's a nice question. Very nice question. When he got back, of course, from preaching in London, you also brought that up. Then Rakshanda immediately fed him grains on Ekadashi. So happy to see. He's been preaching abroad. Come back. Even grains, even on the Kaddishi. Rakshanda broke all the rules for emphasizing preaching, for glorifying the preacher. He broke the rules. That doesn't mean to say we can go and do that. We can expect his surrender to one. No, we shouldn't do that. That was a special occasion. It was a special lila to show us how much Rakshanda valued the fact that preaching in the Western countries is what he wanted. He wanted this. It's this wonderful prayer. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. This is Prabhupada's prediction, actually. Prabhupada's writing this before he comes to America. It's like prophecy of what's going to happen. In all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams, everyone, they chant the holy name of Krishna. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. And then, of course, Prabhupada prays to Krishna. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy, so that I may become worthy. But a disciple also prays to Krishna, please give me the strength to serve my Guru Maharaj. But even then he's not trying to get strength directly from Krishna, but he's trying to get strength so he can serve his Guru Maharaj. Very nice. Prabhupada always felt like that. He always felt that Bhaktisiddhanta was by his side. He never felt any separation from himself and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He saw that even his disciples were coming by the arrangement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, my Guru Maharaj sent you disciples so that I could spread this movement. This is Prabhupada's conception. This should be all our conception. Not that we have the power to preach, not we have the right to preach, not that we're good preachers, but that we're simply trying to follow the order of our Guru Maharaj. And it's Him that's giving us the power. And it's Him that's sending the books, sending the people to take the books even, just so that I can be engaged in service. We may think, oh, I'm a great book distributor. But then sometimes Krishna stops everything, right? You can't distribute a single book. And then when we become humble, then somebody takes the book. Then we can realize, actually, our Guru Maharaj send that person just to engage me in devotional service. So Prabhupada is emphasizing that move. And of course, I didn't talk about Bhaktisiddhanta's spiritual master, Gokishodas Babaji. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he's a very learned scholar. He's a huge scholar. And he studied so many languages and translating, writing books. And Gokishodas Babaji, he was illiterate. He couldn't write, read or write, apparently. Of course, he heard so much. He was hearing from Jagannath Das Babaji, he was hearing from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was hearing from so many. He's a great Vaishnava. He knew Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Bhaktisiddhanta approached him for initiation, he said, no, he refused, no. I'm not fit to give initiation to you. You're a very learned scholar. And I'm nothing. Who am I to give initiation to you? So there is a wonderful Leela. Again he refused him the second time. He went back to his father. Bhaktivinoda was very disturbed. Go back and ask him again. You must take initiation from Gokishore. Again he tried. He was refused. Again, Gokishore was so humble. He didn't feel he was fit to give initiation to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So then Bhaktisiddhanta was so upset. He was completely upset. And he was just thinking, then I'll just commit suicide then. He wasn't putting on an act. He was just overwhelmed with a disappointment. And he was going to drown himself in the Ganga. When Gokishore realized, actually, this boy is going to drown himself. See that? He's definitely going to drown himself. He's completely sincere. Then he accepted him as his disciple. So this is the spiritual master testing his disciple. And Bhaktisiddhanta passed the test. He didn't care that he became very humble. He just became just at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And therefore he got his blessings. Gokishore blessed him to preach the message of Radha and Krishna, to preach Krishna consciousness. He blessed him. That was the blessing of Gokishodas Babaji. Gokishodas Babaji Maharaj ki. In this way we are getting our mercy to preach the disciplic succession. So that came out right at the end. Nearly forgot. Nearly forgot that Leela. Of course, a very important Leela we should have to mention today. We can just finish with this Leela. Prabhupada was a Grihastha. He was with his little son. And Bhaktisiddhanta was in Radha Kund. Bhaktisiddhanta was doing the Vrajmandal Parikrama. He was staying in Radha Kund at that time. Prabhupada came to meet him from Allahabad. And you've seen a beautiful picture. Such a nice picture in the Denmark temple. Denmark temple is called New Srivastangam. And in the Sannyasi room, there's a wonderful picture of Radha Kund. Big long picture. And then there's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Great picture. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And then there's Prabhupada holding his son. He's got a mustache and long hair. One of these swami like waistcoats on, looking like a Grihastha, and there's Radha Kund in the background. And Bhaktisiddhanta is speaking something. And I was looking at this picture and trying to figure out, what's he speaking? And then I realized what he was speaking. And he's speaking, Agosh Valbi. There will be fire. Agosh Valbi. Because in Gaudiya Math, devotees would begin to fight amongst themselves. They built a big temple in Calcutta, Bazaar Temple, Marble Temple. And devotees would begin to squabble, you know how we do sometimes. So, spiritual master was disturbed. Agosh Valbi, there will be fire. And he could foresee that there would be quarreling amongst the disciples after he left. And then he looked at Papa and he said, if ever you get money, sinful. If ever you get money, print books. This is like, you know, real life moment of realization. Bhaktisiddhanta was passing on to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada entered Prabhupada's heart. Deeply entered Prabhupada's heart. And always remembered that. And of course, when he started back to Godhead in 1944, to try and follow that order. He started with magazines. And later on somebody told him, yeah, these magazines, people won't keep them. They'll be used for something else. I mean, in India, you make a paper bag out of anything. And so they'll make a paper bag out of Back to Godhead. So this man said, oh, why don't you write books, Swamiji? Babaji, write books. Papa said, yes. He remembered what Bhaktisiddhanta had said. If you get money, write books. Print books. So then he started to write Back to Godhead and other books. Easy Journey to Other Planets. So the force of Bhaktisiddhanta's order and desire is what is carrying us on. And when we're on the street distributing books, it's not just us that's standing there. This we should remember. This is one of the points that the Sankirtan devotees should always remember. It's not just us standing there. Because behind us we have our spiritual master, we have Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, we have the six Goswamis, desires. We have Lord Chaitanya. We have authority to do what we're doing. To go on the street and ask people to stop and have a look at this book. We have that authority. And of course we have the authority not just in book distribution, in everything we're doing. Devotee. There's so many services I can see in back to the end of my life. So many services devotees are doing. It's a wonderful community. So many kinds of services, so much teamwork, so much organization. Sometimes it does get a bit impersonal, maybe, because it's so big. But you shouldn't think that it really is impersonal, because we each of us have our order of our Guru Maharaj, and we have so many Shiksha Gurus, temple treasurer, Sangatan leader, husband, wife, mother, father. We have so many gurus. There's no question of being impersonal. Yes, everybody can remember whatever service they're doing, whether it's cooking up pakora or changing a nappy, or whatever we're doing, that we have all the disciplic succession behind us in what we're doing, or we should have. If we're authorized, doing the right thing. Time left. No more questions. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.